possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Wasn't so sure. Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Weird week. Is it just that I'm back from vacation and we had a day off yesterday?
Yeah, because it's all split up like a mini weekend there.
Yeah. Just feels weird.
Yeah. It'll do that to you.
But I wonder if I would think the world was so weird if I didn't do this for a living. Because what I do for a living, besides present it to you for 4 hours, is 20 hours of gathering like a little neurotic squirrel gathering nuts, like just gathering all the little stories and, you know, like, oh, I'll tell them about this tomorrow, you know, like a little witch or something.
a glamour witch.
Glamour witch. Yeah. But I just crave one normal day. You know, like today, it's like, okay, tomorrow is Putin and Trump in Alaska and male cheerleaders, and they found the Slytherin sorting hat from Harry Potter on Mars. Like, just, it's just, I know too much.
Yeah.
I want to know less.
Yeah, I get it.
It's like Phoebe Glover told me on her way to college, I don't want any more information in my brain.
Yeah, well.
I feel you.
At that age, though, you kind of need more. At our age, probably you don't need that much
more. Yeah, maybe we've hit our limits. maybe there's just no room to put it. It's like, well, shoving stuff into a closet.
You know, the more you go, the more stuff escapes, too. So yeah. It's kind of like a trade-off.
I like the idea that you hit a point around 50 where you're just like, yeah, I don't need any more info.
Could be something. I'm done learning. Seeing Jimmy Fallon is on Drew. My God, that's going to end life as we know it. Ugh. But he's taking a bunch of crap because he had Greg Gutfeld on. And everyone's saying that was his play to kiss Trump's ass and don't do to me what you did to Colbert and you're going to do to Jimmy Kimmel.
I would believe it.
I don't know. That seems like kind of a roundabout way of doing it. Like, oh, yes, Trump's right-hand man, Greg Gutfeld. To me, it seems more likely that he's like, hey, this guy has a huge audience. Maybe I can get a couple of them to watch my show tonight. I don't know if it's necessarily like... specifically for Trump.
Yeah, you know it had to go into it, though. I mean, you have to have that thought if you're Fallon or anyone who works for that show. Having Gutfeld on, like, that's a move. And he gets to do it, but...
Was it Jimmy? Was he the one that tussled Donald's hair?
Yes.
Yes.
Normalized him?
Yeah. I don't watch any of those shows. I'm assuming he seems less... politically oriented.
I've never seen him in it.
He doesn't do the Colbert really made his niche, and I mean, he made his niche always politically. You know, he was an actor first on Strangers with Candy and stuff, but then he did Daily Show, and then he did his own Colbert Report, and now he did The Late Show. He's always been very much like, you know, my monologue is mostly going to be about all the bad stuff that Trump did and making jokes about how bad it is. And that's been pretty much his entire late night identity.
Really worked there for a while. It turned me off. Like, I'm not a late night guy. I don't stay up late. And now that you can see anything on TikTok or Twitter the next day if something actually happened, it's been a long time since I've consumed late night anything. But, you know, stuff works until it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. You know, people had different appetites for this stuff in, like, you know, 2016 or whatever versus, you know, 2025.
Yeah, everything's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's changing. I don't know what I would do. Like, if I were your guys' age, not to, like, scare you. But, I mean, I've got maybe 10 years left, and I can probably squeeze that out. But even for you, Wheels, like, only being 52, 53, you got a while to go. And everything's changing.
Yep. I'm typically okay with change. Like, I figure usually things work out. I'm not okay with stupidity, though. Stupidity irritates me. And we do live in a time of a lot of stupidity being amplified because everything's amplified, right? Good and bad. I mean, we just have, like, if you look at, like, where we were, like, we say we always go back to that sweet spot, right? 80s, 90s. because the '70s were kind of crappy. I didn't remember it because I was a kid, but I mean, they were kind of, you know, morale's down. You had the Iran thing. You had gas lines. You know, cars backed up for miles at gas stations because you had shortages. Like, the '70s weren't great. '80s and '90s are pretty great, right? I mean, they were pretty chill. But like now, it's as if everybody back then that was dumb has a megaphone. And it's not just dumb either. I mean, even smart people, like it's just a lot. Everything's amplified.
Yeah, I don't give enough credit to, because I do think things are changing faster in the last 20, 25 years than they did in the 20, 25 years
for
before
sure.
That.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
'80s and '90s were kind of just like the same thing.
Very
again,
similar.
You had the Middle Ages, it was the same thing for 600 years.
Yeah, right, right.
But I don't give enough credit to people who are younger and things are changing rapidly and they love it.
That's what they're used to.
Yeah.
See, that's
or,
I think,
or they love it. They just love like, oh yeah, I hated radio, I love podcasts.
Yeah.
I hate podcasts, I love this.
Yeah.
Like for people who are young, it's probably a really positive thing.
Yeah. And the challenge is kind of coming back to your very beginning thought. Like, I don't want to add anymore. You know, I don't want to learn new things because I learned all my life. I'm done with it. It's too much. There's more. And I think that is a typical thing. But the younger you are, the more you're used to change. Because think about it. Every year, something changes when you're in high school. Every year, something changes when you're in college. When you're just out of college, things are changing all the time. Your job is changing. You're moving to a new place. Like, change is normal for a period of time. And then after a while, things tend to settle. Not for everybody, but for most people. And then that's where you're like, all this other stuff's annoying me. But when you're in the middle of it, when you're young, you don't care as much because you got other things going on.
We have a big show today. We have a lot of people coming in studio. We have Ron Kraszewski from Stifel going to be in to talk about their golf tournament coming up. Rich Orris from Mosby is going to be in. Brad Young, Polo Asensio. Brad's going to talk, among other things, about the newest challenge to gay marriage. Or to marriage. Not necessarily gay marriage. Just it's a challenge to marriage. What are the things you can do? What are the things you can't do? Do you guys see that Senator Braun today, I apologize, I don't know where he's from, he's a Republican, was giving an interview and they said, he was kind of hemming and hawing, and they said, so you are okay with the Supreme Court sending gay marriage back to the states the way they did abortion? And he said, yes. So I think that's going to be the play. It's basically a similar right or protection, which I didn't think we'd get here. I don't think we're going to go back. But I didn't even think we'd get here. So it's a little surprising.
Somebody explained to me how the person who is involved in this latest lawsuit has standing to challenge anything when she's on her fourth marriage.
Because morals don't come into it?
Well, I mean, so again, morals cannot be placed upon other people by you because of which book you believe in. You don't get to tell everybody else what to do because you think you're a Christian or because you're whatever. It doesn't matter what it is.
You say that, though, but I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure in practical terms if that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
because several members of the Supreme Court would squint a little at
that. Well, I mean, the Founding Fathers went out of their way to not do that. I mean, they went out of their way to not specify those things in our founding documents. Right?
I think so.
I mean, it's pretty clear they did. I mean, if they wanted to do it that way, they very well could have. In fact, they easily could have. It would have been like a no-brainer. What opposition would they have had? Most people were aligned at that time.
Yeah.
And especially the people who could at that time vote, which were, you know, wealthy white people, white men, because women didn't have the right to vote. Right? I mean, so they would have clearly gotten anything they wanted signed in that way. They clearly avoided it for a purpose, and we can read all of their words because they did all of this writing back in the day, which can help us understand what they were thinking because they wrote it down. You know, it doesn't seem to be that complicated, and I think it's also a pretty good rule of thumb. If you wouldn't want another group of people to step on what you believe, then you shouldn't step on what other people believe. Pretty, you know, the whole do unto others as you would have them do unto you thing, which is... I think you guys can help me out. I think that's in that book that people refer to all the time.
And it's not necessarily a legal argument, but it's a huge morality argument that a probably a majority of Americans believe that we are a Christian nation and therefore God and the Bible should have much more play in public life and in legal life, and that there's nothing whatsoever wrong with saying God disfavors gay marriage and therefore it's not going to be the law of the land. We'll let state by state decide. Like, that's an actual approach.
Yeah, I know, and it's, I mean, to me, it's just complete logical nonsense. You've convinced yourself of that because you want that to be the case. I would like to see where in the New Testament Jesus says anything about gay marriage. Because that's the part that makes you a Christian, right? The New Testament. Unless I'm missing something. I know it's the whole book, but man, there's a whole lot in that first part of that book that we don't pay attention to anymore. That we ignore, that we don't follow, because we don't like those things. We don't stone adulterers, because we don't like that.
In further religious news, there was a pastor who was out on the stroll dressed in cross-dressing attire, and was videotaped and caught, and he says that he and his wife are going to launch a personal investigation into this.
I wonder what he said. I wonder what they'll find. That's hilarious. We're going to investigate ourselves, and we'll let you know.
It's going to be, quote, a massive personal investigation.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
It means he's going to do it some more.
He's like, yeah, he's going to try it out again. So, you know, maybe this is going to stick. I don't know. That's a funny way to handle it, isn't it?
Rachel, your girl's back in school?
Yeah, I believe so. I think Darcy had her first day of pre-K recently, so exciting.
Is she excited?
She's pretty cute.
Yeah.
She's, watch out to the rest of the kids and the teachers. That's all I can say.
Storms are coming. Yeah, true. I got a niece like that.
Those first few years, whether it's classroom or it's sports or it's popularity, it's all aggression. If you are aggressive, you are in. Right?
Well, at least you're in some control.
Yeah, I wouldn't call her aggressive. I'm in awe of her. Her personality is just so strong already at the age of 3, and she just knows what she wants. Like, she's just so direct and, like, I don't know. She's just Darcy. Like, she's her own little person. It's just crazy when you see them come into the world as a little baby, then they get older. It's like, whoa, this is really happening. She's a big girl now.
Still striving for that.
I have yet to feel that way about myself. We'll see.
I never feel that way entering a room.
What?
Here I am.
Oh.
Everyone
that's
weird.
It's funny because I can promise you this. In a lot of rooms when you walk in, that's what everybody else is thinking.
Yeah.
What's that?
Here he is.
Thinking, no, here's Dave.
Here's Dave.
Yeah. Maybe that makes me a good one of these or a bad one of these, but...
I actually think it's better that way than the other way around, where it's like, I'm here, guys. Yeah,
they're gonna love me. Just wait. You know what else I've realized about myself? It's taken me 60 years. I don't like bobbleheads.
But you have a bobblehead.
I am a bobblehead. I mean, I look like a bobblehead. And the bobblehead of me could commit a crime and I could do time for it. But like when they come out with the new bobbleheads, everyone just goes crazy. And I just...
For baseball and stuff, like when the Cardinals give them away? Yeah. There are some people who are, like, very into the collection of a specific kind of
bobblehead.
Which I get.
I'm a collector. I just don't collect that.
I get it if you already have, like if there's 10 in a set and you end up with 6 of them.
Yeah.
Then it's like, I do kind of feel like I should get the other 4.
So, Rach, I have 2 bobbleheads of me, and the other day I opened a drawer to find one of them with the face gone.
What?
Yeah. Could be some sort of mafia.
Did just get a hold of it or something?
No idea.
Weird.
Could be anyone from my family.
What if it was the butt demon?
No, that could be. My face does look a bit like a butt.
And to this day, she's got it all.
See you a little better Saturday.
What about, guys?
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
DGS on KMOX. Ron Kuchevsky's coming up next from Stiefel. Razor's Edge, Rich Orris, Brad Young, Polo, Janelle. Man, stack show today.
Busy, busy.
New study is out talking about the extent to which, and this is people in 12 different countries, the extent to which you are self-determined and you make your own decisions, or do you seek out counsel? And where are you on the bell curve?
Hmm.
So I'm pretty weird. When it comes to my professional life, I am open to discussion. I will listen to anyone who I respect, but I make all of my own decisions. I make them quickly. I make them decisively, and I live with them. Personal life, opposite. Personal life, no confidence. I'm always, you know, therapist and friends and what do you think about this and what about that? So I am split down the middle.
Hmm.
How about you guys?
I mean, I like to seek people's opinions sometimes, but in general, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, it's hard to say. I think it's a case by case thing. If I'm seeking someone else's opinion, like someone who I respect, it's because I probably don't know what to do, but that's also not a guarantee that I'm going to like, okay, now yeah. I'll just do what you say. It's just nice to like take in another perspective.
And it's nice to monitor how you react to it. Does that make sense? Like if it's something as simple as, I don't know if I want fried chicken or if I want steak, and someone goes, steak, and you go, kind of want chicken. You know, it's kind of nice just to see how you respond to what someone else says. It's what I find.
Yeah, I think I'll seek out advice, but normally it's something to add to the list of things I'm considering if it's a decision to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll have all this stuff in my head like, okay, this is this. What's the downside? What's the upside? What am I not thinking of? And that's where I would go, hey, have you dealt with this? And what am I not thinking of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm trying to fill in a blank on what I don't have.
Yeah.
But then once I have what I think covers that issue, I'm like what you described. Like I'm going to make the call and I'm going to live with it. I'm not going to second guess it because you can't.
Yeah.
There's no do-overs most of the time.
We had a guy on years ago. I think I'm the only radio guy that had him on, and it was the something of choice, the conundrum of choice or something.
The illusion of choice?
Something like that. Yeah. A professor who had studied that. And I'll always remember him saying, when you make a decision, break it so that you can't go back. Like, for example, if you're buying a sweater, And it's returnable within 30 days. Don't buy the sweater if you're iffy because you're just going to be miserable for 30 days. Mm. Buy something you can't take back. Which that was interesting advice.
Mm. Well, it's good advice when it comes to like thinking about the past because right. There's nothing you can do to change that. I was just talking about that this morning. It's like there are certain things that I wish would have played out differently in my life, like different decisions that I wish were made for me. But also at the same time, I have no control over that. It's already happened. So yeah. Like, why would I go back and ruminate and be like, oh, if only it was different. It doesn't matter if it was different. This is the reality of the situation now. So
and see,
time to live with it.
I know all that. I really, really know it, but it doesn't keep me from doing it. It's like a conditioned response.
Yeah, and the more you ruminate, the more you want to ruminate. That's just kind of how the mind works.
Yep. Like, oh, this is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Time to ruminate.
Yeah.
Start to feel weird if you're not ruminating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I'm not a ruminator. I don't like that.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm shocked to hear.
I'm not saying it would never happen. I'm just saying I'm not a fan of it. I try to move past it. Like if I say, you're thinking about that too much. Great. Do something else that takes your mind off it.
Mm-hmm. What, if you have like a bad dream, well, you don't really have dreams.
I mean, I do. Usually they involve gorilla running.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. I was going to say, like, if you have a bad dream, do you think
barking
about
up
it
the
all
wrong
day?
Tree. Yeah, he's never had a bad dream.
No, I'm not saying I never do. I'm just saying I don't remember them. Most of them.
You need to seek out a human.
Yeah.
See what they think.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM, KMOX. Hoax. Happy Thursday, live in studio. A gentleman I've wanted to meet for quite a number of years now. Ron Kachevsky, the face and the voice of Stiefel, is here live in studio. Ron, very nice to meet you, sir.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, as you were just saying, we're going to talk about this event, the charity classic you have coming up. But Stiefel, whether it was very intentional or it's just where your heart is, but you have become synonymous with St. Louis sports.
Well, I would say it's both intentional and where our heart is. It's both of them. Stiefel was founded in St. Louis in 1890 on Broadway, same street for 135 years. And so the ability to both be on the blue sweater and on the Cardinals jersey and support St. Louis sports. And now the Stiefel Charity Classic is important not only to us, but I think the community.
Yeah, who does it benefit, Ron?
Well, you know, it benefits some of the Mary Grove, the Boys and Girls Club of Greater St. Louis, the Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis, Revco Vet. So it's a charity event, and our goal is to raise money for charity.
Which you've done very well.
Well, we have. We've had some support. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the state of Missouri, their involvement. The governor has been very supportive of this event over the years. Ascension has stayed involved, Worldwide Technology, Compliance Solutions. These have all been firms that are helping put on a great event.
How about this year? Tell us the particulars in case the golfers are out there saying, just tell me about the event.
Well, let's talk about it. First of all, it's going to be a great event. We have quadrupled the ticket sales. So I'm asking people to come out. St. Louis, really, especially in golf, it is a great sports town. It's a great golf town. So we need the people to come out and show the tour, the Champions Tour, what a great town we are. We've got something from waste management, the idea of that bullpen. We're going to do that on 17. Mm-hmm. We've got a kids fair area. Kids under 16 are free. So, you know, you got to come out that weekend and let's do it. And I'm going to tell you, we've already going to have a pretty good crowd and we want the people to be out there.
Being in a golf gallery is really fun. A lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Well, it is. And it's a great place to not only watch golf, but see people, you know, and walk around. And again, we want to make it fun for families and kids. So it'll be worth your while.
Well, I know this is not a Ron showcase, but like I said, to me, you're the face of Stiefel, and I don't know much about your past. Just tell me your story a little bit.
Well, you know, I came to St. Louis in 1997 as the CEO of Stiefel. So, you know, many people say, well, wait a minute, that was 28 years ago. And I say, yeah, I was 18 years old. So, for
Boy
sure.
Wonder.
Well, yeah, no, I was a young guy. But, you know, I'm from Indiana, so and love Missouri. When I moved here, one of the great things, why this is such a great sports town, is I grew up a Cubs fan, and I'm a Cardinals fan through and through. My Cubs fan.
That's a tough transition either
it
way.
It is. You have no idea. Yeah, and even some of the ownership of the Cubs yell at me for saying, how do I wear Cardinals red when I go to Chicago?
Yeah.
But Stiefel's is a great place. Thank you for saying I'm the face of Stiefel. It's just because I talk a lot.
So tell me about Stiefel. Like, there are all these big names out there. Stiefel certainly among them, but I'm very proud that you're a hometown company. But where do you fit in the firmament of investment firms?
Well, you know, we're a global firm. We have offices in almost 49 of 50 states, and we're going to get the 50th state here momentarily. But, you know, Stiefel's just been the growth story of our industry based in St. Louis. When, give you an idea, when I joined, the revenues of the company were $100 million and the market cap was $40 million. Today, we'll do over $5 billion in revenues and the market cap's $12 billion. We've got 10,000 people across the globe and we're a major investment firm and the largest bank in Missouri now, based in Missouri. Stiefel Bank is the largest bank in Missouri.
What do you say to people? So I have been smart enough to earn pretty well over my years doing this and being a lawyer, but I'm very non-techie. I'm very non-numbers. And so when I look at it and I think about the investing, I think about all these the traders who are using these apps and it goes in nanoseconds and I'm over here You know, I still remember my mom and dad with the Alton Telegraph looking at the numbers and let's invest this much in LaBarge. Like, things have really changed. What about for the people like me who feel a little bit behind?
Well, you know, as much as things have changed, they really haven't changed. All right. Sure, the technology has changed. But what I would tell you when I tell everyone, let's start at the very basics. And the basic rule that I tell everyone is the power of compounding versus yes. consumption. And so when people say, well, how do I get started? I say, well, instead of buying something, which is consumption, invest it. And invest it in stocks, bonds, whatever it is, but then it will compound. And that basic rule is what you need to do. The rest mm-hmm. of it is, yeah, everything's changed, but the basic rule of saving and investing hasn't changed in 200 years.
I have a 30-year-old son and a 20-year-old daughter, and that's one thing. I did not do it. I got started too late, but I tell them it's, I understand it, what you just said, it's more about time.
It started early.
Yeah,
you know, everyone will say, you've heard the old adage, what people say is it a good time to be in the market? And I say, it's not timing the market, it's time in the market. So go back to the same thing. When's the best time to start investing? Right now. Yeah. Just right now. I don't want to hear about, oh, the market's higher, it's lower, it's this or it's that. Yeah. Just invest and you will understand the ninth wonder of the world, which is compounding.
Yeah. I remember one time coming out of law school, and I wasn't paying my student loans on time. And a bill collector called me. And I was paying no attention to him. And he goes, let me talk to you like a person. He said, do you understand compound interest? And I said, no. He goes, let me give you a lesson in it. And I paid him off right away.
Well, yeah. I got to tell you, you know, and in reverse, let me explain compound investing. And it's the same reason that you paid off that student loan is the exact same reason you'll start investing.
Yeah.
Because it's a powerful tool.
Yeah. What do people do if they're just out there in Kirkwood and they're like, well, I don't know anybody at Stifel. How do I get in touch with someone at Stifel?
We've got offices all over. We've got an office in Kirkwood. We have one in Frontenac. We have one in Chesterfield. We have offices all over the place. So, you know, I'd like to say pick up the yellow pages, but those are gone nowadays.
Yeah.
So, you know,
cold
just
calling.
Hit the, go on the internet. You'll find we've got hundreds of people here in town that are here to help.
So let's finish this up. Going back and talking about Stifel Charity Classic presented by Compliance Solutions. Where is it? When is it? What's the vibe of it?
Well, the vibe's going to be great. It starts the Tuesday after Labor Day. It'll run through Sunday. We have Pro-Am on Wednesday and Thursday. Our Thursday Pro-Am is sold out. Our Wednesday Pro-Am is also almost sold out. I've got a few spots. So if you're on the radio here and you're listening to this, come out on Wednesday. And I got to tell you, we're doing something unique this year, a democratic process. Normally, the best players are taken by the sponsors.
Sure.
You know, so you go, oh, Ron, who are you playing with? Oh, John Daly. Oh, no, you know, really? No. We are going to have a random draw. So that's just the way to do it. So both Wednesday and Thursday, come out and maybe you'll come on Tuesday, come to the draw party. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have OAR on Friday. A concert. So you come out on Friday as part of the grounds and stay, and the concert will start 4:30 to 5 o'clock. It's going to be fun. This is going to be a good time.
That's great. Wheels look like you had something on your mind over there.
I'm just in awe.
Just taking it all in.
That's too much information.
No, it isn't.
It's compound. I do remember the student loan thing, though.
Yeah, we all remember that.
Had that conversation
back
in the day.
Well, you know, but let's not talk about compounding. Just come out and, you know, have a cold drink and a burger.
You got helmets? Because if I come out, people are getting hurt.
Oh, I know. I like it.
Ron, again, pleasure to meet you. Open door anytime.
Well, you know what? We appreciate you letting us come on and talk about this event. So, again, let me finish with this. St. Louis, let's come out. All right, let's show the nation that we are what we do on PGA tours. We're going to do it for the Champions Tour. We're going to have some fun. Thank you for having me.
You bet. That's StifelCharityClassic.com. Welcome back, guys. DGS.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Rich Orris from Mosby Building Arts. And we're going to talk specifically about kitchen stuff. But if you have any questions for him, he is great. He does that on the weekends now. Attorney Brad Young joins us at 2:20. And then Polo from the Spanish-speaking broadcast for the Cardinals will be with us at 2:30. It's too much busy. Show. Yeah. Too much show.
Yeah. That's all right. Too much is never too much. It's always enough.
Is Andrew in there listening?
He's chatting.
Oh, who's he talking to?
Rich.
Oh, he's talking to Rich. Hey, Andrew.
I don't think you can do
Yeah,
this.
He's just talking.
He's got the speakers down.
You can do
down.
Razor's Edge if you want. Okay. I mean, that's what's on the sheet.
Sure.
Have you guys heard of the America 250 Commission?
No.
It's basically a nonprofit that is organizing like a 250-year birthday celebration for the United States. It's bipartisan. I guess Republicans can appoint some people. Democrats can appoint some people to this commission. So U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was in charge of appointing someone to this committee just to prep for America's 250th birthday celebration. And the person he chose is named Jack Schlossberg. Have you guys heard of
I've
Jack?
Heard the name.
So he is Carolyn Kennedy's son.
Yeah, that's where I know it.
And he's turned into like a pretty big influencer. I see him on TikTok all the time. He's definitely on the left. Mm-hmm. He can at times be inappropriate in a way of like, he's obviously kidding, but it's not a mainstream thing. Like I remember seeing videos during the inauguration that he had made, and he was doing like a funny thing where he was pretending he was in love with Usha Vance and like saying like, anytime you want to leave this guy, like I'm here for you. So like, that's kind of the sense of humor. He can be inappropriate at times. He's a handsome kid. You know, people are excited about him because he has the Kennedy connection. I don't have any problem with him, you know, being an influencer and doing his thing. I guess what I have a little bit of a problem with is Chuck Schumer tapping him to sit on this commission as if he has anything to do with the 250th birthday celebration. I'm just having a hard time understanding how this person is better suited than anyone else to sit on this commission, other than the fact that he has the Kennedy connection. In fact, there seems to be a lot of downsides to putting him on this commission because he has such a wide digital footprint and so much of it is kind
attackable.
Of hard. Yeah, attackable, hard to explain, inappropriate, just not mainstream humor. You can twist it into maybe something it's not. That seems like a reason to kind of leave him alone and let him do his own thing. I know he like works for Vogue or something, which makes sense, I guess. But like to put him on a board like this and Chuck Schumer is like, well, he's going to fight against Donald Trump and there's no better person to push back on Trump than Jack. And I'm just like,
which is not the job.
No, it's not the job. And it's also just like another example of Nepo babies just having everything handed to them.
There's nobody else accomplished out there that wasn't born into the Kennedy bloodline.
It just seems so silly that we're still doing this. Like, and it also just seems silly because it's Chuck Schumer's attempt at seeming relevant. Like, hey, kids, I got this influencer I know you really like. We're going to put him on the committee. Yeah. It's like, dude, just find someone a little more better suited to it. I don't know. The whole thing, like I said, don't have a problem with Jack personally. It's not his fault that he's a Nepo baby. And you know what? If I were born into like a rich or famous family, I'm sure I would take every single opportunity that fell into my lap. Don't ever blame these kids at all. But I do blame someone like Chuck Schumer, who really doesn't have any incentive to do this other than he wants to seem cool or he's doing the Kennedys a favor. I just thought it was, the whole thing was super weird.
I hear everything you're saying. For me, the salient part of that story is Schumer. He just needs to go.
Well,
it's just another example of how he doesn't get it.
There are the things that need to change to make things better for us normies is get the people that have been in there too long out of the way because they're still thinking in the ways that they did to 20, 30 years ago. They're not looking at things as they are now. And you can see it in moves like this because they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get what people actually care about and need.
Yeah.
And they go back to the same wells. Why do we need to keep with this dynasty nonsense? We're not supposed to have nobility. We're not supposed to have this.
People just love it.
I mean, there are so many smart, established, entertaining people out there, brilliant people who can do these types of things that weren't born into the Kennedy family. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? And it's not just them. It's obviously there was that to a degree. There was that with the Bush family, yes. And I'm sure it's going to continue with the Trump family. And we're already did a lot of that stuff with the Clintons. It's like, can we just get away from it? Can we go hire other people who aren't part of your quote royalty, mm-hmm. your party royalty? Who cares? He didn't do anything. His grandfather did it.
Don't you think though that we do like? You know, it's been a long time since we've actually had a monarchy, but old things die hard. And I'm the kind of person, I'm very self-confident, but I'm also very self-aware. And I wouldn't become the president for anything in the world. I don't want that job. I would be terrible at that job. I feel very self-aware about that. Like, I don't belong in that position. And I think that that lives right in an apartment right next door to, you are my superiors. So you guys go ahead and handle mm-hmm. this. You know, I don't make that leap, but people like me, I think, make that leap without even knowing it.
Yeah. I don't like understand.
You are the ruling class. You rule. You go ahead.
Yeah, that's actually what bothers me the most is slowly over time, we just kind of replicated where we came from.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In a different way, because now it's much more about, well, it's always been about money. But over centuries, it became more about your name and name value and then what class you were born into when we were back in Europe, right? If you were born into the peasant class, well, guess where you're going to stay for the rest of your life? We do have the ability to change that more now than you did 200 years ago, 300 years ago. But it still ends up being the same. It's not so much name, although as we see here, why do you see the same names all the time? Why do we go back to those wells for things? Because we can't get past this idea that your name doesn't matter. You're not a better candidate because you have those genetics. You're just not. And, you know, unfortunately, we still get stuck in those ruts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the other people on this commission, which is bipartisan, are Attorney General Pam Bondi, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio. We have U.S. House members, U.S. senators, and then the influencer kid who is a kid.
Yeah, and
it's just a little weird. It's like, oh, he was the best one.
Those first names bother me more than his.
Yeah.
Because you have really important things to do. You don't need to be spending any time deciding what color cake we're going to get for the 250th anniversary. You go be the Secretary of Defense and you go be the Attorney General of the United States of America. But what it tells me is it's a nothing job like so many jobs like this, and they won't actually do anything.
Yeah. So, whatever we do for this, who's going to pay for it?
Just us.
Oh, us, I'm sure.
So, wouldn't it be a great birthday party if we celebrated by sending people checks instead of spending more of our money on some parade or some nonsense that we're going to put on a show that people can watch on TV? Could we do? I mean, I'll give up mine. Send it to somebody who's in the Army. You know, let's give bonuses to the people that make these birthdays possible.
Do we know what they're talking about, Rach? Like a big 4th of July kind of thing?
I'm looking at the website right now. I don't see any actual plans as far as what's going to happen. I'm seeing pictures of Mount Rushmore, pictures of fireworks, pictures of the troops. It's just all very like patriotic, American-y, but no solid plans as far as what is actually going to happen on the 250th anniversary.
Gotcha. I mean, it's a big deal.
I agree. But what would be, I don't know, I'm being a jerk. And it's like we spend money on parties, but we're not going to spend money to help the people that we could help.
I mean, you're not wrong, though. I mean, I feel like I'm being a jerk about the Jack Schlossberg thing. It was just the kind of thing where it's just like, oh, really? Okay, I guess that's, once again, you're just proving to me that is the way life works.
Yep.